Hey guys, we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. We are excited to be in a series called Defining the Enemy. Let's listen in as we identify the true enemies we face in our everyday lives so that we can understand what we are battling against.
Hey guys, welcome to the Men's Summit podcast. My name is Todd McIntyre, the lead men's pastor here at Gateway Church, and I'm so excited to be with you today. You know, one of the reasons why we created this podcast is to help you as a man to understand the journey you're on and the world that you affect as a man. Because men are born to lead. You're leaders. You're going to affect a lot of people. And also really to remind you that the life that you really desire will only be found in the presence of God. You know, the stat I shared with you a few podcasts ago, a few episodes ago, was a stat that really drives me and really helps me to remember the why I do what I do. And it's a stat I heard from menscatalyst.com. And it just says, when a child gets saved first, there's a 3.5% chance the rest of the family will get saved. When a mom gets saved first, there's a 17% chance the rest of the family is going to get saved. But when the dad gets saved first, there's a 93% chance the rest of the family is going to get saved. And what's exciting about that to me, if you're in business and you understand ROI, return on investment, the investment we put in men's lives matters because it will not just be an investment in their life, but it's an investment in their entire family and the people that you influence. And so these next couple episodes, we want to tackle the problem we as men have when we don't understand the war that we face every day. Every day there's a war you're in, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. And today I just want to kind of paint a picture for you of really what we face as men. And there's a revelation I think we as men need to get. And this is a big revelation. It was a big revelation for me because I like to think that everything's fine and I just want to go about my life. But the reality is, there's an enemy out there always trying to get me. And the revelation really is that the ploy of the enemy is to try to get you to think there really isn't a war against your soul and cause you to become complacent in your role as a leader and a man. I was talking to a man earlier today who was telling me that his wife was talking to him about how he's been complacent at home. Listen, we've all been complacent at home. I get home from work and I want to act like I could just rest and do nothing and everyone else is going to serve me. But the reality is I'm supposed to work at home as well as working at work because I'm the leader. That's what leaders do. And when we understand this war, then we understand really what the fight is every day. You know, Jesus made a comment about this in Matthew 24, 9 through 14. He was talking about the end times. And he says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Guys, Jesus is trying to remind us that in the last days, there's going to be a lot of people who grow cold in their love. And we've got to stand firm to the very end. I love what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. He says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And it says, have nothing to do with such people. When I think about that, I think about there's things in that scripture that I've walked out in my life where I've been a lover of myself, a lover of money. I can remember times where I thought if I could just get one more dollar or if I just had a paycheck or if I could just get this or that, then all my problems are going to go away. And really what I found myself doing was I was putting myself in position where I thought money was going to take care of my problems and not God. And the reality is when we get complacent, these kind of things get more prevalent in our lives. C.S. Lewis talked about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He says, when a man is getting better, he understands more and more the evil that is still left in him. But when a man is getting worse, he understands his own badness less and less. A moderately bad man knows he is not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he's all right. This is common sense, really. You understand sleep when you are awake, not while you're sleeping. You can see mistakes in arithmetic when your mind is working properly. While you are making them, you cannot see them. You can understand the nature of drunkenness when you are sober, but not when you're drunk. Good people know about good and evil. Bad people don't know about either. And I think about where we are as men. If we don't understand that there's a war, we don't understand the war that we're in, then we could get taken out pretty easily. And today I want to do something really simple. This is a simple podcast, simple episode. I just want to talk about the three enemies that we have in the New Testament that the Bible shares with us in the New Testament that we have to fight every day. There's three. There's really basically three. And one of the things I want to say this, Ephesians 6 makes this really clear. Flesh and blood is not our enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Your kids are not your enemy. The guy at work that you're frustrated with right now is not your enemy. The guy that just cut you off on the freeway is not your enemy. Those people are not your enemy. But there is an enemy and there is a war. And if you don't understand that, then you start getting frustrated with all those people I just shared with because the enemy's tricked you to think that the real war is for you to take care of yourself, for you to self-protect. And guys, I'm going to tell you, in my life, when I've tried to self-protect myself, I've just gotten myself in trouble. But I want to just talk about three things. I'm just going to read you the three enemies, and we're just going to talk about those today, and we're going to move on. The first one that the Bible clearly shares with us is the devil. I think that makes sense. And it says in Ephesians 6:12, I just kind of mentioned that. It says, "For a struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You know, the devil has made war against us. In fact, Revelations 12:17 says, "Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus." I think this makes sense for most of us as Christians, but I want to remind you, the devil doesn't play games. He's not negotiating with you. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. His job is to kill you, your baby, your grandma, your wife. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationship with your kids. He wants to destroy you as a dad, as a husband, as an employee, as an employer. Why? Because he knows when those relationships are damaged, it affects not only the people that you damage the relationship with, but everyone they influence as well. The enemy, the devil, is constantly trying to get at you and to get you to think certain thoughts and to get you to do certain things that are going to destroy you. And you got to remember, he's not playing games. And he does it at the worst times. He does it when we're tired. He does it when bad things are happening at work. He does it when someone dies. He'll come after you anytime he can. And the one thing you have to remember that we are in a war and we got to be ready to compete every day for the war that we're in. The other enemy the Bible clearly talks about is one we don't necessarily talk about a lot in church, but there's scriptures about this, and I'm gonna read those to you. And the second one really is the world. What do I mean by the world? Well, the world is that thing that says to you, you gotta make more money. The world's that thing to you that says your car's important, your stuff's important, I care more about my hobbies than I do about spiritual things. I care more about work than I do about church or I do about relationships with my family. When we get caught up in the world, the Bible says we're an enemy of God. In fact, James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Guys, that's a big deal. I can tell you right now, I do not want to be God's enemy. But when I choose to be a friend of the world, I'm really saying to God, deal with it. And that's not a good place to be. Look at 1 John 2:15-17. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Why am I talking about this? Because if we don't understand the war we're in, we can get sucked down into these things that we think are good. We're just trying to provide for our family. We're just trying to do the thing that we're supposed to do to take care of people. And the reality is, at the end of the day, when we're on our deathbed, at the end of our lives, does what the world have to offer really matter? And the reality is we gotta come to grips with, this is a war, And if we stay close to God, we can overcome these enemies. The third enemy that we all have to deal with is really one that's the most closest to us. It's the one probably the most deceptive, the most tricky, and that really has destroyed most men that I know. And it's really our flesh, or what the Bible also calls our earthly nature. You know, the Bible is clear that our flesh, which is us, is one of our biggest enemies, if not our biggest enemy. In fact, in Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are in contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There is a war right now in our souls between our flesh and our spirit. And if we don't understand that, we can get really complacent. It's that thing inside us that wants to be lazy. It's that thing inside us that says it's okay to eat whatever we want. It's that thing inside us that says we can look at any girl we want to look at. As long as we're not touching them, it's okay. It's that thing inside us that tries to trick us and tries to make us think that it's okay to be mediocre in our faith because God's good. God loves us. Don't worry about it. It just kind of leads us down this path that really does bring us to destruction. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. The Bible makes it clear that we have to put to death this thing called our earthly nature or our flesh. Let me tell you something. When the Bible uses the word death, it's not using that to just be dramatic. It is the most violent language in the Bible, death. Think about that, taking the complete oxygen out of it. It is something that we're going to have to recognize that if we're really going to fight this war and we're going to be victorious, there's going to be some things that we have to do. And one of the things we have to do is we have to learn how to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature. That means we got to kill it. We got to take all the oxygen out of it. Because Romans 8, 12 through 13 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We have a job to do. In fact, it says we have an obligation. That word obligation means work. We have work to do. But it's not work to please the flesh. It's work to please the Spirit. I meet so many Christians who are so afraid to be oversaved, are so afraid that, you know, they're just going to do too much for God. And you know, you probably shouldn't fast so much. You probably shouldn't pray so much. I mean, come on, man, you gotta live your life. Let me tell you something. My flesh always wants to trick me. I had a guy ask me one time, why do you fast so much? And I said, because my flesh wants to kill me. And if every time I fast, every time I deny my flesh of something, it reminds me that I can't do this without God. And I want to go back to one of the reasons why we developed this podcast, because we want you to know the only way you're going to defeat these enemies isn't because you're strong enough, fast enough, quick enough, knowledgeable enough, you know more scriptures than the devil, because I promise you, you don't. There's no way you can defeat these enemies without being in the presence of God. But I also want to remind you that we are in a war. And if you think you don't need to be in the presence of God to fight your enemies, you're going to die. It will destroy you. It will destroy everything in your life, the relationships out you hold dear, the things that you want to do, the direction you feel like God's called you to do. We have to understand that first and foremost, guys, we are called to be warriors. And I hope you get discontented with the fight you're in. I hope you get upset. I hope you get frustrated recognizing that the enemy's trying to kill you and you're going to do what you can to get close to God to be able to kill this thing called your flesh, the world, and the devil. You guys, in the next few weeks, we're gonna tackle this last enemy, our flesh. And we wanna talk to you about what does it mean to overcome your flesh and how do we do this? Because if we don't figure this out, guys, we're gonna get further and further down a road we all wish we wouldn't. And it's time for us to take up our swords, take up our shields, put on our armor of God and fight this fight. I wanna pray for you guys as we leave today. Father, I thank you for every man that's listening to this podcast today. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them to be warriors. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them to be aware of their enemies. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't call them to be aware just so they could be aware, but so they can know how to fight and they can know how the enemy works so they can know how to work with you. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we're going to learn, God, in these next couple weeks, What does it mean to overcome our flesh? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And Lord, that we would be men who understand this and go after you with everything in our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, I thank you that you're raising up men all over this country and all over this world who are no longer going to be okay with just being mediocre. But Lord, we want to reach our full potential. We want to be everything you've called us to be. We want to be the husbands. We want to be the fathers. We want to be the influencers in this world that change the culture of this world from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.